We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
It's hard for people to believe that there is not a lot of communication about elite players because there's a valuation to them economically that clubs are not ready to take so that they don't call. And then all of a sudden when there's a need, they do call.
Jed, do you, is this the team going forward? Is that your expectation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the expectation, though I would never rule anything out is kind of how I would phrase it.
Signing another one of Scott's clients would probably push you past the threshold. We all see the numbers.
You guys have dealt with me for a while. You think I'm going to answer that?
Good question, Jess.
Scott Boras and Jed Hoyer yucking it up when Cody Bellinger was brought back into the fold.
We have the best production crew in the business.
There's no question about that.
Nobody does the executive producer job like Shane.
A lot of guys do.
No. You have the most unique profile of any executive producer ever at this station, frankly. And Chris Tannehill, I mean, that is a perfectly chosen bit of tape for what we're going to talk about here with Jed Hoyer and Scott Boras.
Yeah, and there's a couple, like, we both had basically the same idea for a conversation today. Jed was on with Mully and Haw. Haw is how I would say.
And Dustin. Dustin helped make it happen, and I thought that was a great moment.
So the subject and the quote that he gave them was great, and we're going to hear it first. But then he said something to John Greenberg also that I think supplements it. And it's about a team that makes a lot of money, spends a lot of money, but doesn't spend as much money as we all thought that they would.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we did both come in thinking about it because, look, we knew how much money they had available going into the offseason based on the first level of the competitive balance tax. And we thought this was a year to really possibly go for it. So what does that mean? Does that mean two of the big free agents? Does it mean Bellinger plus? And then it came down to a moment where the Boras four, some called it five with J.D. Martinez, but it was really Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, and Cody Bellinger were all out there, and Scott Boras was struggling to find them deals, and that's a story in and of itself. And then they signed Bellinger, and you're like, right there in the cut. So you guys done? Well, I don't want to rule anything out. And Boras says, good question, right?
Yeah.
So we got some clarity on that today.
So here he is with Mully and Haw talking about payroll as candidly as he can with the backdrop of the Boras clients.
Yeah, no question. I mean, obviously those are things that I think every team probably talked about because it became clear those teams, those players were going to get shorter deals, and that was going to be similar to what happened with, you know, with Cody or with Matt Chapman. You know, candidly, you know, when there was a situation, I guess it was late February, where there was those four guys were out there plus a couple other free agents. And, you know, we knew we had the, you know, kind of financially we could go after one of those guys and be aggressive to get one of those guys and push. And, you know, Cody for us was the best fit, you know, candidly. We felt like, you know, what he brought to our team, we knew him. He could play center. He could play first. You know, he could play corner outfield if we needed him to. We felt like we needed a left-handed bat in the middle of the lineup, all those different things. We felt like of all those guys, he was the right guy for us to pursue. And so that was our decision, was to go after him. I think by the time, after that, we were not able to go after those guys. And certainly, you can never have enough pitching. And I think that, the Giants and Diamondbacks got really good pitchers, but obviously that was something that we decided before that Cody was the right fit. And, we're really excited we have him back.
So remove the question of whether they didn't like Snell or Montgomery because they were left-handed and they got a whole bunch of lefties. Remove the question of whether they didn't like Matt Chapman because they're worried about his depreciating bat. They could only take one of those guys financially. There were restrictions on what Jed could do because they didn't want to go over that first threshold of the tax, and they're not over it now. Maybe they will be by the end of the year. Because everybody thinks they're going to be one of the most aggressive teams at the deadline.
Well, because they didn't trade as much prospect capital as I thought they were going to trade anyway. They traded the big pitcher for Bush.
Yep.
But they did, right? I always forget his name, the 19-year-old kid.
Jackson Merrill?
Yeah. He's so
Jackson
young.
Jackson Hole?
He's so young. But
Jackson Brown. It was Jackson Brown, wasn't it? I think it was.
I don't know the guy's name. I just know that I always forget
Jackson
his name.
Not Jackson Holiday. He's on Baltimore.
Okay. Point is,
the Cubs' finances running on empty? Back to you guys.
It was Jackson Pollock. He sprays the ball all over the field.
Okay.
Come on now.
That's not bad. That's not bad. It's not bad. I want to hate that one, but that one's not bad.
You can't.
I can't hate that one.
But yeah, they only traded one. But I was just reading today, Patrick Mooney in the Athletics preview of what the team, like, it was like one bold statement about every team. He flat out predicted on the Athletic they're going to go out and trade for Shane Bieber from Cleveland and maybe Kenley Jansen from Boston to be a closer. So, like, they might add some money and go over the tax this year. So, but they're not going over it at the beginning. It was never a possibility to get two of those Boris four.
And that's okay. That's okay. If they, because we've seen them go into the tax threshold before. Very few teams will ever go into the repeater tax threshold. So you want them to only do that when they think they actually can hang a banner at the end of it. Because if they're only going to do it sporadically and they're only going to do it 1 year at a time and then take a little step back financially so they don't go into the repeater tax threshold, you want them to do it when they can be a World Series champion. You don't want them to. Obviously, it's easy to say I want them to do it every single year.
No. But it's not
reality.
Doesn't it? It does suck as a fan to hear them basically tell you, we don't think we're a World Series champion this year.
And so that's what the first 60 games or 80 games are more about.
Let's find out how good we are. How much of a difference does Council make? Is Justin Steele for real? Is Shota a number two?
We just all lived it. We just lived it. We thought the Cubs were going to be sellers. And then Talkman had the catch, and they went on that winning streak before the deadline, and they ended up not being sellers.
I need you to add some context to that winning streak before the deadline. Talkman's catch was towards the end of it.
Yeah.
What was the beginning of it?
The morale?
No, the first three games of that eight-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Was me and Elise Manicker doing play-by-play at Wrigley.
Okay. I thought it was the White Sox series.
Yeah, yeah.
They started to play well around
whatever.
That time.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, right.
Think what you want. The first three games of the eight-game win streak that made them pivot to buyers, forget the fact that they ended up, crapping down their leg in September and it all fell apart.
But sure.
First three games of that. Leading up to the Talkman catch.
I forgot. I forgot.
Important context.
It speaks his world. It speaks his game. It speaks his booth. Pat Hughes is just renting it.
No,
I think that's what you're saying.
Dude, I might never do another series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know.
What if this is as good as it gets?
You spurred the winning streak.
That's right.
But the
Jackson Ferris, by the way.
Jackson Ferris. Thank you very much. Great name. I should remember it. So that quote was good with Mully and Haw.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't about payroll, but it was after he had talked about payroll with John Greenberg. Jed Hoyer does a preseason interview with him every year over at The Athletic. So we had already done the Boris question and the Bellinger question, and then he asked them about the internal projections. So the question is, are your internal projections higher or lower than the ones out there? I think this is Jed Hoyer. I think every team is always a touch higher than the externals, probably because they are a little bit higher on their own players and what they did. I'm excited to get going. I think the division is very flat, and I think we need to go play really well. There's no way around it. There are teams that can have the 30th percentile outcome of their projections and still make the playoffs, and we're not one of those teams. We need to perform probably at or a little better than our projections in order to have a really successful season. The Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers, they have built a cushion where things can happen and they can undershoot their projections and still win. We can't do that, so we need to eke everything out of this group.
That's honest.
That is so honest.
Yeah, and candidly, he dropped two candidlies in the cut. That was honest too, yeah.
And as a Cubs fan, that as a team that's spending whatever the payroll is, $190
million, it's 230, I think.
$230 million.
Yep.
Great. They shouldn't be eking anything out. $230 million, a top 10 payroll in baseball, eking it out. That idea that feels disappointing. It's a good goal. Maximize everything that we have, play to the best of our potential and all that stuff. But if that means that there is, by his own admission, very little margin for error.
Yeah.
Now, of course, young players could come up and overperform, and you have got a very deep farm system, and they do have organizational depth. That's a strength of the team.
And they'll go add if they prove they deserve it.
But what I'm talking about is if they prove that they don't.
Yeah.
Like, because internal guys playing well that are top prospects, that's baked into the projections.
Get ready for more Bellinger trade talk if they don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Ben Brown is not with the team, but he's baked into the projections. PCA is not with the team, but he's baked into the projections. So they are admitting to you that even with no bad contracts, even with spending a bunch of money, even with bringing back Bellinger, that they don't look at, even in a weaker division, they don't look at themselves as a class A, like number one, top tier team. They're like, yeah, we're a contender in this division, and we think we're a little bit better than the external metrics, and we're excited to get going. But if we underperform in an area or two, we're not going to be able to overcome it.
So
that's not a great feeling.
So you are, and you're okay with it. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you did say you're okay with it.
So what I'm okay with is that they are not over the luxury tax on opening day if they're not going to be a repeater tax team, and they've already proven to us that they're not. As long as they have saved some back to do what I thought they would do in the offseason, in season. There isn't much difference to me if they trade the prospects after 70 games to, we do need a closer. Oh, we do need a number two starter. Okay. Or no, you know what? We need a better DH, and we need another lefty in the bullpen. Like whatever the holes are that materialize, if they're still winning in spite of it, they have to be able to be aggressive and go, because every opportunity to put a banner up in center field is precious.
I think that's fair. I'm sure that there are fans who are pissed that they're not just flat out going for it with gluttony, or trying to find a way to be creative and do some deferred money so they don't go over the first threshold of the tax. Maybe they could have paid $7-8 million to Blake Snell, and everything else over the top could have been deferred down the line, and let that be future payrolls problems. Take advantage of the loophole that the Dodgers did that will exist at least up until the next collective bargaining agreement. I know there are fans that are pissed about that.
Yeah.
I do believe that there is good baseball sense going on because of everything that they have in the farm system, because of the flatness of the division, like Jed is saying, and all of that. But I like that he's giving voice to the financial restrictions and financial realities of it. And that's okay. And I thought he did it in a way that didn't bus toss his owner. Very often this dynamic is exposed when the baseball boss grumbles about it, or they don't say anything about it, and you're left wondering how they feel. You're left wondering what that dynamic is. Jed is enough of a made guy that he's comfortable saying it. And the way that relationship goes with him and Tom, I think it's good for a fan base to hear it, so they can try to wrap their heads around it. The honesty in those two cuts, the one to Greenberg and the one that we heard, It's healthy for a fan base to know, frankly.
And yeah, and they're ninth in baseball in payroll.
Yeah, it's not like they're shirking it.
That's not. They're not cheap.
No, but they're just they're living in a space where they don't want to pay the penalty again and again, especially if they don't think they're quite good enough. I'll tell you this much.
So I don't agree that they will go into the tax threshold at the deadline.
Well, but
that would surprise me.
Here's what I will say. If they show that they're good enough, either at the deadline or even like during the year, okay, next year, you know, if Cade Horton or Ben Brown shows you, oh, wow, look at that. We do have a top of the rotation right-hander. Look at that.
Yeah.
We got one. So we can pair that with Steele and we're good at 1-2 along with some of our other arms. Like, oh, my goodness. Okay. If Morel shows he can be a third baseman or like he's you know, MVP numbers at DH or whatever the hell, you know, it shows some of those things. Matt Shaw comes up and, you know, like if you know it, then go into the tax next year and don't be afraid to do it 2 years in a row in the middle of your freaking window. You know, and like be ready, be that team that 2 or maybe even 3 years in a row, you try not to, you try to stay malleable and you hope your young talent can augment it enough so you don't do it. But when you're really, really good and it's actually your window, don't run from it and go on the cheap.
And that everyone's going to kind of disagree on when that timeline starts. They only won 83 games last year. They're not great. They're not a great team.
Well,
they're a good team in a bad division.
They're a good team. They're a good team in a mediocre division. They are. Now, remember, they were better than their win-loss record in terms of the underlying metrics last year.
I know.
They fell apart, and they had some manager losses. They obviously very firmly believe they had some manager losses.
Well, that's why I think they're a 90-win team this year. I think they're going to win 90 games, and I think they're going to win the division.
And 90's a lot. I hammered – listen, all right, so that's – last year you made fun of me for the 80 floor. You for the 90 prediction, it's a good touchstone to have here before opening game tonight.
I think they're a 90-win team that'll win the division, and I fully admit a bias with counsel that's well established in terms of like the intelligence and the personal relationship and all of that.
Who's that, Craig?
Yeah, Craig. I'll call him Craig.
Style counsel.
But
Paul Weller's band after the jam.
But, I mean, the guy has outperformed the win expectation every year he's been a manager except for 2, I believe.
Hmm.
And he's never had anything close to these resources. So if people think, oh, it's an 85-win team, and this is the most talented team he's ever managed, well, 90 doesn't feel that ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't feel ridiculous. It would be exciting as hell. I'll tell you this, we're not that far apart. I advised my friend who asks me every year, and then I played it myself. I hammered the over at 84.5.
Yeah.
84.5. I was like, yeah, come on. But that's a part of that is informed for me because the Reds have injuries all over the place.
That's part of it.
And because the Brewers are, you know, Freddie Peralta's the ace. Wade Miley is the 2 for Milwaukee. They got a lot of good young position players, but they lost Council and they lost both Burns and Woodruff and Devin Williams. They don't have the closer, Devin Williams.
And the Pirates are still the Pirates.
The Pirates are still the Pirates. The Cardinals have, I believe every starting pitcher on the Pirates is 44 years old. Do I have that correct?
We could check.
They're very, very old.
Hold on 1 second.
Thank you.
little less.
Shane, could you leave your mic on and just hammer away at the keyboard? I got to say that moment yesterday when you said, Tanny, mark that, and then he just hammered away at the keyboard on the visual was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cardinals are very old. I think the Cubs are going to win the division. Might be 87 or 88 wins, but I like your 90.
Yeah. That's so. You got
to bet it? Did you bet it?
I have a bet on them to win the division and on the over. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. More on them to win the division. So, win-loss. The thing with betting win totals in baseball is...
just the one, it's you can't really make that much money on it. You have to bet a lot.
You got to bet a lot, and yeah. It's all of a sudden, it's like, okay, so say you put... And you should, in my opinion, you should put a bigger bet on that than you would put on what you'd bet on an individual baseball game because it's the entertainment in theory of 162 games.
Yeah.
But these numbers are often very good. So say you normally bet $10 on this. And so a bet for a season long, you maybe bet $50 or $100. Well, then all of a sudden in September, when they've got 82 wins and there's 9 games to go.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, now I've got $100 on these games. You know, so it comes down to that in like a
a sweat equity.
A little bit of a stressful way.
I'm not gonna lie, I reached for sweat equity right there as a possible relatable gambling term.
I was going stressful.
I missed, right?
Yeah, it's not
I missed on the sweat equity.
I don't think that's right.
No, I'm sure it's not.
But I would
something. I don't mean something to you people.
Average age of the starting pitcher in the Pittsburgh Pirates rotation is 28.
Okay. He asked about the Cardinals.
How about the Cardinals?
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Thanks for listening.
He said Pirates, right?
He said Pirates.
No. He said the Pirates are still the Pirates and the Cardinals.
Was it a syntax thing?
Oh, is this show? Probably.
I turned to you and said, I believe the starting average age of starting pitchers for St. Louis Cardinals is 44.
Hey, Twitch chat. Run that back for me.
Yeah, you
regardless
guys.
Regardless whether it's true or not,
mark it.
Regardless of whether it's true or not, side with Shane and Tanny, please.
Sometimes they're having their own conversation, and if we to look,
no, we don't, Spies. Okay. No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Are we counting Sonny Gray, who's on the DL? Like, do you want to go Sonny Gray, Miles Michaelis, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson?
Give me Lance.
Steven Matz.
Give me. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Stand by, Speaks.
All right. Shane's going to have this math problem solved on the other side.
Average age of 5 different people's...
Pirates is 28, by the way, if you're looking for that.
It's so great. He's got the calculator going over here. It's awesome.
Oh, man. This is great.
Damn it. People say I did say the Pirates.
No, I heard Cardinals.
I'm sorry. I'm just such a big, stupid idiot. That's on me. I'm just the phone guy. Forgive me for doing something other than answering the phone.
Calm down, helper.
Sorry.
Don't let them get to you like
Thank
that.
Thank you, sound
we
boy.
We talked about this.
Yeah, I praised you.
Phone's ringing. Oh, it's Mike Schmidt.
Put him on.
That guy's good.
Michael Jack Schmidt, number 500. It's my Harry Callis.
That was very good. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.